This is the Rush Hour NRL Preview.
The last time, Peter Sterling, hello to you.
Good afternoon, Dan. Yeah, grand final week. I know we say it every year, but the season has flown. And we have a match-up on Sunday, obviously, of two teams that have never met in the grand final, which is always a little bit exciting as well.
Let's just now, normally we do thank yous, or people do thank yous at the end. Let's do it at the start here. We've got to thank all the people at Sportsbet for letting us do this for a second year. I can't believe they gave us a second year. Benny Hawes and the team there, our sincere thanks, because it's been fun. It's been fun to play this game and do this. And thanks to everyone who's downloaded as well. Our numbers have been... I can't believe people have listened to this gibber, Sterlo. We do about 3 minutes of football analysis and 17 minutes of gibber a week. So it's...
It entertains me, so that's first and foremost. But they're great people that have tuned in to us, and also that allow us to do this. And I'm putting my hand up for season three, Dan. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to be back.
Even if Sportsbet don't come through, or Triple M says no, you're not allowed to do this anymore. Let's just do this to amuse ourselves.
Works for me. Sounds good.
All right. All right. Let's get to this game, and. What sort of game do you anticipate before we sort of break down who's going to do what better?
Look, I don't think it's going to be a particularly open match, which probably serves Melbourne a little bit better. We're talking about ANZ Stadium. Hopefully, there'll be no dew on the surface, and that will allow a little bit more ball movement. I think Andrew John's predicted rain for this weekend. He's got it leading into the weekend, but I'm of the understanding it's going to be 27 degrees on Sunday. So
if he got this right, he is Kramer.
We'd never hear the end of it.
Well, he'd be so Kramer from Were you a Seinfeld fan?
Yes.
Okay, so Kramer in the first season was dumb, and then the actor Michael Richards worked out. Now, how he's going to make Kramer. What he's got to do with Kramer is having one step ahead of everyone. So yes. No one knows what he's on about, but he's always one step... He's a genius. Wrapped up in a weird package. Now, if Joey has picked rain 8 weeks out, because remember, his whole thing was, I'm picking Melbourne because we're due for a wet night, then, yes. Frankly, it's scary.
Well, I can't believe you asked me, a Seinfeld fan. I've been working on the Penske file for a decade. but I think he's going to be a little bit off the mark. He might have gone off a touch early. I know we've had a little bit of rain today and maybe a little bit tomorrow, but come Sunday, I think it's actually going to be fairly humid conditions. So what effect that has on the game, I'm not quite sure, but just the two teams up against each other, they are very, very good defensive sides. We know Melbourne complete better than anybody else, which means they create less errors than anybody. So they're not going to help Cronulla win the game, that's for sure. They won't give them anything. And I think Cronulla are pretty well versed at, getting into that kind of match as well, but with maybe a little bit more flair with their attack. So I don't think we'll see a whole lot of points scored. I think we'll see a fairly tight affair, but I'm hoping... Shane Flanagan has said all season that his team is a dry weather football team.
Mm.
I'm hoping we get to see that, at its best.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't have thought dew would be a factor when it's high or mid 20s to low. As long as the temperature doesn't drop too much once the sun goes down, we should be okay.
Well, I'll hold you to that. And I'm not much of a meteorologist or those kind of things, but yeah, I think this time of year as well. So look, yeah, it's not going to be a wet grand final, and that means that we should see a better game of football.
Okay. The odds on the game for head-to-head, Cronulla $2, Melbourne $1.85. The line is plus 1.5, so if you want Cronulla, you get a point in your favour, $1.91 both ways there. And the over-under is so low, 34.5. I always had the principle that when it's that low in a dry game, you almost have to take over on principle. But going by what you've said there, you think that might be the right number.
I'm thinking it'll be around the mark, Dan. You have a look at the stats for these two teams. The Melbourne Storm, over the whole year, have averaged just 12 points against them per game. You do that, you win plenty of football games. Cronulla... Not much worse than that. They're out to about 15 per game. So, on averages, that's around 30 points going along those lines when these teams meet. But we know that that's not how things work out. But it does illustrate the fact that defensively they're very good, and they rarely concede too many points. Even the last game when Melbourne racked up 26 points, I think it was. There was only 32 in total in that game. That was back in round 26.
Okay, let's get to Clive Churchill. We'll get to the game itself, and you're probably going to give away your feelings by way of Clive Churchill. There's a couple of facts here. Obviously, halves and 5/8 are the most dominant. Forwards have won 14 out of 30, so it's basically, it's just under 50-50. A winger or a centre, neither of those has ever won a Clive Churchill medal. And I'm just waiting for my sheet to print up here. Here we go. Last year, it was Jonathan Thurston. And maybe the last couple of halfbacks, Daly Cherry Evans, might they got there, but it was debatable. Four fullbacks, 10 halfbacks have won out of 30, so one in three. And the last hooker. Okay, here's a quiz question, and I don't expect you to get this right because it's almost impossible. Who's the last hooker to win a Clive Churchill medal?
I don't know. She won a Rothmans medal, Mel Cochran. hooker, let me think.
Okay, I'll tell you that there's only been two that have ever won it. Luke Pritis and the other one.
Of course, in 2003, yeah.
But he was the first, the last one, yep. Broncos.
Broncos hooker.
It's a good quiz question, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got some. Obviously, someone started there. See, I always thought the best quiz question was the halfback for the Brisbane side who won the premiership. I think it was Shane Perry.
Perry, yeah.
But you've got me off the top.
Sean Berrigan.
There you go.
Who had an unbelievable finals. Week before, they came from nowhere to beat Canterbury. And I remember him being particularly good. So anyway, 16 backs, 14 forwards have won, 10 halves, only a couple of 5/8s, 4 fullbacks, the last being Darius Boyd for the Dragons. And then 6 locks, 4 second rowers, 2 hookers, 2 props, no one off the bench. Okay, so who do you think will win the Churchill?
I'm going front rower, Dan. And I'm obviously giving away who I think will win the game. I'm tipping Paul Gallen to get the Clive Churchill medal.
Okay.
Now, he doesn't play the full 80 these days, but I think that, you know, they'll get at least a good hour out of him. And I think that in that 60 minutes, he can really stamp his mark on this game. So I'm obviously thinking that Cronulla are going to win it, and I'm looking at who I think can really lead the way for them, and none more so than their skipper.
I'm going Wade Graham. Because he's obviously going to do the tough stuff, but a couple of little bits of brilliance that might break the game. So there you go. So Wade Graham, he's at 17, Gallon's at 10. The odds are, they've tumbled in for the favourites. Cam Smith at $5.50. Geez, we love Cam. That's out 9-2 for a Clive Churchill. That's outrageous. Cooper Cronk's even shorter. He's $5. Maloney, $7.50. Barber, $9. Gallon, $10. Ennis, $13. Jesse Bromwich, $15. Fifita, $17. Lewis, $17. Graham, $17. Munster, $21.
That's short for Paul Gallon. I would probably have thought that Michael Ennis would have been possibly alongside Paul Gallon or shorter. And they're good odds for Fifita and Graham, who've got that little bit of X factor about them. So, there's some unders in there, but if you like Cronulla, there's some overs as well.
All right, so that is the Clive Churchill. The longest odds, Christian Welch and Tim Glasby at 250-1. Marika Corabetti's at 100-1. What if he scores a hat-trick in a grand final?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. His wing partner scored 4 not so long back in a club match, so... they do have a strike rate, the two wingers.
Okay, so let me try and find some more odds here. By the way, there is a special if you head-to-head bet on the grand final. Oh, hello, this is different. If your head-to-head bet on the grand final wins, Sportsbet will double your winnings in bonus bets. So you get your normal winnings and then up to $55 in bonus bets. Well, nice. That's handy. That's better than a kick up the backside. We've worked out Clive Churchill. Okay, first try scorer. Now, this is a shy at the stumps, as they say, at Sportsbet, but Vunivalu, $8, Corabetti, $10, Chase Blair. Now, you talked up Chase Blair last week. That's right. You said how he went maybe pivotal.
Against Leilua. Yeah.
And he scored a try and was pretty good.
Yeah.
Valentine Holmes, $9.50 is the favourite for the Sharks. Asiah Fekie, rock solid, 11s. Ben Barber, 14. Any one of those strike you fancy, or would you like to have your second rowers again for the Storm?
No, I'm going the rock solid. I'm going Asiah Fekie. I think that if Melbourne can get caught out at times with their wingers rushing in, and despite the fact that probably Corabetti does that a little bit more often than Vumavalu, I've just got a feeling that Fekie might be able to get the ball across the line first.
Okay, there we go. $11 Asiah Fekie. I'm going for Luke Lewis.
Okay.
For no particular reason, just...
On the edge there, yeah. No, he's in good form, Luke Lewis.
He is, isn't he? Okay, so there's the first try scorer. And you know what, this with Fekie, and please, I hope we don't jinx him, if he gets a chance, he's not going to butcher it.
No, he's good. He's last week, you could see when he got about 6 metres out from the line and he knew it was going to be tight, he actually ducked in and got down low and aimed his body in field so that the impact was going to have less effect taking him over the sideline. It was a really good piece of finishing, sort of good awareness.
Okay, there's a million markets on this game. You can bet what jersey number's going to score the first try. Being a back, a forward, or no try scored. Let's see, super sub. Any interchange player to score a try? $2.25. We've got... this is interesting. So you can have a player to score first or last. So the odds come in a little, but you get two cracks at it. If they don't score the first try,
yep,
you could get them scoring the last try. And the favourite there is Vunivalu. Fekie, $6 for the Sharks. You can bet players head-to-head. Too many of those for us to go through. Is there anything else that particularly strikes you, Sterlo, that sort of says, okay, I'm interested in those odds, you know, one of those, you know, first to score, half-time and win things?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of success in the second half of the season picking a player out to score a try.
Yes.
And his team to win. So if I think Fekie can score the first try, I think he can score a try in the game. What about Fekie into a Cronulla victory?
Okay, that would be a scorecast. Let's see here. You can have any time try scorer.
I'm thinking it's probably only going to be about $4 or something, but that's... I nearly copped that.
Okay, well, I've got here, this is not the right market, but it'll give you an indicator. So Fekie to score into either Sharks 1-12 or 13+.
Yeah.
I'm just going down the list here. There's a fair bit here. So, okay, well, you can have any margin here. So Fekie to score and Sharks to win 1-12, $6.
Yep. Oh, nice. Yep.
Or Fekie to score and the Sharks win 13+, $10.
Yeah, well, I'd have a little bit on both.
There we go. Very good. All right, we're just about done. Something that is going to happen one of these days, there's going to be a drawn halftime score because it hasn't happened in a grand final for 40 years.
So it's due. So that's obviously caught your eye, and you are a man who can sniff out a long shot.
Well, I was disappointed. It's only $8. The first half margin is $8. I thought that was
40 years.
Oh, yeah, I know. But even better, if you go any draw, so in the halftime full-time double, you can have any draw. So that means, and I think that's $7. So if you don't get the $8 at halftime, you might you get a second chance at full-time. So there you go. Were you there last night, Sterlo?
No, I didn't. I've been to the last couple of Dally M's, but I just felt like I don't mind missing one every now and then. And I did see a fair bit of it on the television last night, and we were warned that it was going to be a very tight finish. And I couldn't argue. I thought Taumalolo and Cooper Cronk both had outstanding seasons. Like most people, I was probably a little bit surprised that Josh Hodgson was down the list a little bit. Because I don't think above him a whole lot of Canberra players actually took too many votes off him. I can't think of too many that, you know, that finished up around that. Well, I didn't see that. You know, maybe there was a whole lot just behind him that shared the points around.
No, someone pointed out he was the only Raider in the top 20.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know, I don't know if it was 21 through 30 were all Raiders players and took the points. But, yeah, I thought, you know, when you have a look at his performances throughout the year, And the fact that Canberra went on such a long winning run, and he was invariably close to one of their best, it was a little bit of a surprise. But I was delighted for both the winners. Reflections of great seasons, really good people. I love watching them both play. And again, you know, like Cameron Smith was snapping at their heels, so too Jonathan Thurston. I'll tell you who, Dan, who would have given it a shake. Yeah. Who I think was on 17 points.
Yes.
But he didn't play the last, what, six to eight matches?
Yeah.
Corey Norman.
They didn't do him the indignity of wiping out 24 points off him. Because we were waiting for his score on the scoreboard to drop from 17 to minus 7.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they bothered taking him off him in the end.
No, but that was, you know, he was obviously up until the stage where he was put onto the sidelines, he was right up there. And you'd imagine he might have had a decent couple of games with Parramatta victories towards the end there. So, hopefully he can come back and do a similar job next year, but be there for all 24 games in the final series.
All right. Well, being there was actually a pretty good night. And I'd just say this, it doesn't matter who you get to present the medal. This time it was Joey. Don't have him hold two medals before they announce the last round of votes.
Oh, no, that wasn't the case, was it?
Yeah. You had to have a keen eye to look. But when you saw Joey carrying two of them, and he was in a state of panic because he didn't know if he had to read the winner or... But I don't think that was captured on camera. But when they did the Cooper Cronk got no points, I thought, oh, this is great theatre. They've got Joey holding two, so we're all thinking it's a tie and they're going to give Taumalolo votes in the last game. But there we go. So,
well, the one thing I did notice also, Dan, is that I think they got their timing wrong naming the team of the year, because they got up to about the lock forward, which was still a couple away from the front rower,
yeah.
And I saw Jesse Bromwich's name up on the big screen behind. So they didn't have to. They obviously didn't want to keep Jesse waiting too long for him to know that he was in the run on side.
But in saying that, imagine that's done pretty quickly. It's not perfect, but done pretty quickly compared to the Brownlow. Imagine sitting for 3 hours where there's no other reward. I mean, there's a community award or something. But 3 hours of that versus an hour and a half of a pretty slick night.
Yeah. No, I think that experience has shown that as streamlined as it can possibly be, and the fact now that they do put it together much quicker, and I think it's more palatable for everybody, and I'm sure it would be for those in the room. They'd like to get to the bar afterwards, and for people sitting at home, it works out to a nice period of time and a nice little crescendo sort of coming up to the winner.
Did you have much to do with Russell Crowe when he, because you were hosting, weren't you, the one of the times he read the votes?
I wasn't. One of the things with Russell, very difficult to get. Obviously, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot of those kind of things. And it was quite a coup to actually make the arrangements to get him. So he turned up with his son for that night, and say he had to be there at 7 o'clock for the telecast to start at 7:30, for him to do what he does, probably 9:30, whatever. Yeah. He got there at 7 and said to them that he needed to be gone by 7:30, which was pretty much before the whole event started. So you can imagine the mad scrambling and the, oh no, look, you know, this can't be. So I don't know how it was resolved, but you will find, I don't know if I've got those times right, but you will find that Russell was looking to get out fairly early in relation to the responsibilities they were hoping that he would take on.
Wasn't the first one he said, or the whisper was, he said, if this gets out, I'm not going. So the two or three people that knew just couldn't tell anyone.
I would say that would probably be the case. Yeah, I think you're right.
There you go. So, but you know what? For that voice, it's worth a little bit of theatre and
absolutely
the diva. All right. Well, we filled out 20 minutes nicely here, Sterlo, and we now get to the main tip, which we know where you're going. But why will Cronulla, in your eyes, beat the Storm?
Well, I think this is their window of opportunity, as we've spoken about. Certainly, the second half of the year, I think everybody's fit, confident from the weekends. I just think they've got the kind of game that can beat the Melbourne Storm. I know they were beaten 26-6 last time they met, but they created plenty on that particular occasion. I think it's they just offer a little bit more. You know, I've said during the week that if you have a look at the Melbourne Storm, 72 of their 101 tries scored this year have originated inside the attacking zone, the 20-metre zone of the other team. So if you can stop that, they don't score long-range tries on you. They don't really hurt you that far out. They're happy to work the ball up into that 20-metre area and then do what they do best. I think Cronulla can negate that. I think they can stop that. And I think Cronulla can hurt Melbourne from more areas of the field than the Storm can.
All right, there we go. So there you go. Sturlo is locking in the Sharks. And there are the reasons why. All right.
Yeah. We're now, just... last week, I think we got both winners, but we got nutted with a with one of the starts.
Sorry, yes, I didn't even mention that because, yes, we basically tread water, one and one.
Yes.
The pair of us. So we got...
It's better than drowning, Dan. It's better than drowning.
Well, we got Cronulla. And what was the other game? Oh, yes, Melbourne plus 7.5.
That's right, yeah. Canberra got close, yeah.
Yes, and it was 14-6 too late. Not that I didn't even remember that, but there we could have gone 2-0. But you are going to finish, and congratulations. At worst, if you get this wrong, 14 games above 50%. That's a hell of a season. I hope you did some good investing away from this podcast.
Well, more importantly, I hope people who do take the time to have a listen may have invested in the right places as well.
All right, beautiful. Cronulla for me too. Sturlo, mate, it's been fun.
Yeah, well done, mate. It's, I like talking to you each week, and I know we wrap it on a little bit, but I enjoy that as well. And you've got a big call coming up this weekend. I hope it's a beauty for you, and I hope you get an exciting game, which I'm sure that we will.
You too. You too. Have a good one for nine. What time are you on?
I'm going to be on the footy show in the morning, and then I think I'm hosting through the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then get a little bit of break through the news and come back and call the game at night. So it's a long day, full day, but best day of the year.
I think you might need to take up a coffee habit. You don't do coffee, do you?
No, I'm not. Never.
I think today. I think Sunday's the day.
I'll be fine. Right. I'll be fine.
See you, Sturlo.
All right, mate. Take care.